2 days after the U.S. missile attack on the Iranian passenger plane, the Islamic Republic of Iran, in a letter, asked the U.N. Security Chair for holding a prompt session to review the event. Then Iranian Foreign Minister Akbar Velayati and then U.S. Vice President George H.W. Bush were present at the session. Velayati, in part of his remarks, described the illegal presence of the U.S. in the Persian Gulf as the cause of evil and lawlessness that had brought nothing to the region except insecurity. The Islamic Republic, in addition to complaining to the UNSC and ICAO, raised its complaint to the International Court of Justice in Hague, but ICAO, under the U.S. political pressures, made itself content to extend condolences to the families of victims. In spite of proving that the event was a deliberate one, none of the crews of the warship were prosecuted. And what added salt to the injury of the Iranian nation was the Medal of Honor that was given to the criminal commander of USS Vincennes. 4 years later, New York Times wrote that USS Vincennes was in Iranian territorial waters rather than the international waters. Admiral William Crowe, then chief of staff of the American Armed Forces, stressed in an interview with the BBC that USS Vincennes had come close to Iran's waters despite having long-range cannons and missiles. This shows that the warship was prepared for an evil act. The American officials who had called the downing of a South Korean plane in 1983 as barbarism and called for banning the former Soviet Union's international airlines after the deliberate downing of the Iranian passenger plane tried to trivialize the event by every means. George Bush Jr., who was the vice president at that time, said 1 month after the heinous crime that he would never apologize on behalf of the U.S. He continued that it didn't matter for him what had happened and what the reality was. Admiral William Rogers, captain of the ship, said shamelessly that he would order to shoot even if the event occurred 100 times. These are not strange remarks from the American criminal officials. The U.S. has the longest record of crimes in human history. Atomic bombardment of the Japanese cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which killed nearly 250,000 civilians. War crimes in Mexico in 1846 to 1848 with more than 10,000 civilian deaths. War crimes in the Philippines in 1989 with over 200,000 civilian victims. Heinous crimes in Vietnam in 1965 to 1975 with scores of millions of dead among civilians, staging of numerous coups in different countries, including the August 18, 1953 coup in Iran, all-out support for Saddam's crimes in the 8-year imposed war against Iran, establishing secret incarceration centers and applying every kind of torture in those centers, and the most recent crimes in repressing the opponents and discrimination against color people are just tip of the iceberg of the American crimes throughout its devilish life. The U.S. not only has no right to claim human rights and democracy, but it should be brought to trial in just international court.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. This is Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi and Shaykh Rouhani. Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to your show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Sayyid Naghvi, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to get into the important topic of the foundation of the family, or as some say, the institution of the family, and its role in order to answer some of the needs of human beings in today's world. Of course, day by day, especially in the liberal capital look at the world, the family foundation is losing color and is losing its place in today's world. But it's still in some religions and in some, we can say, traditional the methods of the living across the world, is still foundation, and the marriage has important role. Shaykh Rouhani, let's start with you. Why the foundation of the family is still important for the world?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Of course, in these recent centuries, not centuries, I mean in the 20th century, there is a big kind of change or revolution in culture and, let's say, social values, religious values, political values. Of course, these changes came to the history of the West. But the important point is that the mainstream in the history of mankind for thousands of years, they had their own established values.
Yes.
So family and having family or living in a family, in a kind of legitimate sort of family, we can say mashru'.
Yes.
It was something that not only in Islam, but also in Judaism, Christianity, and Buddhism, Hinduism, Confucianism, and all these religions, we have these, let's say, values, and for thousands of years. So this kind of change that nowadays we have in the West, we should not just evaluate these, or we should not give more values only to these systems, new modern systems that we have nowadays.
Yes.
Because this mainstream is also important. For yes. example, the people for 3,000 years, 4,000, 5,000 years
yes.
lived with a kind of established sort of values and systems.
Yes.
So that is also important that we should yes. have a look at on them.
Okay.
And maybe this mainstream get back to its own stream.
Okay.
In one day,
yes.
The Europeans might understand that, of course, this new modern lifestyle that
I think they understand it, because according to the statistics, when nowadays you see, for example, the rate of, we can say, underage sexual rapes or something, sexual assaults or abortions or cohabitation, children born out of wedlock. And you look at the future, you know, how for example, the teenage delinquency you could see in the society, all the statistics show that they have roots in the familial disorders.
Yeah,
and this has been tackled by so many sociologists and psychologists in the Western world too. So still the foundation of the family is important.
It's important,
too.
Yeah, of course. You know, the number of the children that are born in Europe, in many countries, they are decreasing a lot, the number of children.
Yes, yes.
So they're fearful of this, that one day, for example,
there
will be no European.
Yeah.
All the immigrants will
come here. Except the immigrants from the other countries to increase the rate of the young generation in the country.
This is the thing that's happening.
This is the unfortunate news that's happening in today's world because of this materialistic engagement that most of the people have, and the foundation of the family is losing its color. Divorces from one side, cheating on the wives of the husband from the other side, children born out of the wedlock, these sexual relations, illegitimate ones, unlawful ones, in so many other countries, marriages.
One point that I wanted to add is that, unfortunately, in the Western culture, in the Western civilization, their understanding, their perception of God, is unfortunately in Christianity, that is not a perfect kind of understanding and perception from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
What we have in Islam, God in Islam is totally different from what the concept that they have about God. Mm-hmm. So that's why when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolute, His knowledge is absolute.
Yes.
He is the absolute perfect.
Yes.
So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kind, is merciful, is compassionate. So who... Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is His knowledge is absolute, and also at the same time He is kind and merciful to the mankind. So whatever rule that He establishes for all the people, it is the best rule that we should follow. Sometimes we might not be able to understand deeply the philosophy behind these rules. But maybe in the course of time, maybe in after thousands of years, after some centuries, when we violate these rules, we will have... We will see the consequences of these things. It is something that's going to happen in some of the civilizations.
But I myself believe that the West had really fruitful and sweet experience out of the foundation of the family. Because when you look at them in the past, you know, the family foundation has its own values, having children, you know, all the pictures that are shown are in the family order. But nowadays, as I said, with this capital liberal look at the world and the materialistic load, the family foundation is losing its color. Okay, Sayyid Mohsen, do you agree?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, I agree with your last statement, which you said, capitalism and the liberalism, obviously it has brought a new mentality into society. When we look at the Western world, what we see is obviously the capitalism is the ruling system in the West. That's the for sure. Obviously, even in the European countries, now we can see in the East as well. What does capitalism mean? Capitalism means that a person has full freedom for anything.
Yes.
Now, in that full freedom, when you look at the economical concept of it, it means that he must save money for himself. He must earn money for himself only. And on the other hand, there is a big issue in the economics that we deal, because I'm an economics student. Yes. In the economics, when we talk about the capitalism, in the capitalism, they are facing an issue. And that is that they say we cannot understand why people are saving money for their kids' university or education. Because according to capitalism, when the profit maximization is to maximize your personal profit, it doesn't involve the family.
Okay.
Therefore, when parents are saving money for their kids, for example, like uni or the school, like they say they're doing the saving, they have come with the ideology of altruism or benevolence.
Yes.
That is an action that you choose to do or sacrifice something for others. According to the principles and the philosophy and logic of capitalism, it is against capitalism.
Okay.
But on the other hand, because there is a society in which they are living, they have to do this.
Yes.
Now, when we look at this ideology, it means that this ideology never exists in the past in the humans.
Yes.
And it was made up. It was given to the people.
Self-centerism.
Yes. It
that's
was man
right.
made
in today's
it.
World, man
yes.
Made.
Man
right.
made it. It okay. wasn't made by nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in nature, even when we look at the animals, they live in a family.
Yes.
You know, the mother is taking the care of the kids.
Yes, yes.
Feeding the kids.
Yes.
You know, you can take many examples of the animals.
Yes.
You know, there were many experiments. Even, you know, I remember like in one of the channels, Discovery Channels, they showed that they had this monkey,
yes.
mother with the baby.
Yes.
And they placed them on a floor which was hot.
Mm-hmm.
And she carried the baby.
Oh.
Up until a time where she was about to die, then she put the baby down and she sat on it.
Oh.
Whereas on the other hand, when the same thing happens to the human beings, mother never agrees to do that.
Oh.
Yeah. So they were doing the experiments like how much like
that's
animals
right.
can be and all those things. So what we see is that, you know, the family system, the foundation of family was in the history. It is nowadays
yes.
practice. For example, you know, why the king family or queen's family in England have their own lineage.
Oh,
there are many people have, you know, even they have the lineage for the dogs as well. You know,
yes.
the scripts.
That's right.
Like where they talks about the generations.
Yes, yes.
So and that is important.
Okay.
Similarly, in America, there are the rich families.
Yes.
You know, they don't marry outside their family. Why? because the family is important.
That's right.
It's for the general public who does not know anything about these things,
okay,
that the foundation of family is being, you know, overruled. So basically what we see is...
But unfortunately, the concept of the family itself is changed. I do want to say there is still the concept of the family, but the family does not consist of the parents and the children. For example, cohabitation, living together under one ceiling, you know, with sexual intercourse or something like that, without children, with children, one parent family, same-sex marriage, yes, you know, all
you
of
know,
these
the problem is, they're after maximizing their profit.
Okay.
That's the main issue. Uh-huh. That's why I give this example. Like, I define this, the definition and the concept of capitalism.
Okay.
Maximizing your profit. Now, if someone sees his maximization of profit without any responsibility, you know, that's one of the things.
Yes.
Responsibility is a hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
That's why someone does not get married. Why? Because if he marries, he has the responsibility of the wife and the children. Mm-hmm. So he never marries. He has a girlfriend. On the other hand, the girl has a boyfriend.
Okay.
That's the first thing.
Yes.
The second thing, you know, they don't marry. They, you know, adopt kids. They don't want their own kids.
Adopt
Why?
Pets.
Adopt pets.
Okay.
You know, having pets as a husband.
Yes.
Or a wife. You know,
okay,
this is a new trend.
Yeah, unfortunately.
On the other hand, same-sex marriage.
Yes, yes.
Why is this happening?
Okay.
Because they're profiting. They're thinking about their own maximization of profit. That's the first thing. The
mm-hmm.
second thing is they do not know how to fulfill their desires.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at different means.
That's right.
You know, they say, like, we have tried this one and now that one.
Yes.
So because it has been made by human,
okay,
and human cannot, as Brother Sheikh Rouhani has mentioned, that God, when he created us, he knows our needs. He knows what to do. And unfortunately, Christianity couldn't show the right picture of the God. Similarly, same is the case with the Judaism.
With the family.
That's why people in those societies where there was a Christianity and Judaism,
okay,
they couldn't find the real picture of the God, and
That's
they
right.
couldn't understand the role of religion and the parents.
Unfortunately, the wrong picture that made, we can say, out of the character of Prophet Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus Christ, and the celibacy, you know, and the celibate lifestyle of the monks or something like that, has affected the popular culture of the marriage in the Western world too. Okay, Sheikh, so if in Islam, the family foundation has its own values, if somebody wants to talk about the merits of the family, especially in today's world, what are they?
You know, we should understand that we as mankind, as human beings, we are always in need of some people to support us,
mm-hmm.
to take care of us, to protect us against all the evil things that might happen in our lives. It is not only in our childhood that we are in need of that. Particularly when we become old, at the end of life, we are again very much in need of those kind of care, those kind of protections and supports. Unfortunately, in these modern systems, you see that the people, when they get old, unfortunately, their children, their family, leave them alone. That is one of the really painful part of life of the people in this modern life.
Okay.
While in Islam, we are told that to take care of our parents like children when they get old.
Yes.
So we must be supportive, we must be protector for them. And we must be helpful to them. We must be kind. We must be merciful to them.
Yes.
As they were merciful and kind to us when we were a child. So this is very much important, that we should not leave our parents alone in a place that there is no one to take care of them, to support them, to help them. So at least this is one of the really, really important things or important merits of having a family or family foundation in
yes.
Islam. That we must live in this way.
That's right. That's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, for your presence in the program Viewpoints. It was very kind of you. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Concerned by what they say,
Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light. You guides me through my darkest nights. Shows me right from wrong and world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and since we're still basking in the blessed wedding anniversary celebrations of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, and Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, here is what Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, said while solemnizing the nuptials of his immaculate daughter and his infallible son-in-law. May Allah bless you, prosper you, and produce much good from you.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news, with delight.
In Brazil, a 100-year-old man has broken the world record for the longest spell working at a single company. Walter Orthman has entered the Guinness World Record books for working at the same fabric company for an astonishing period of 84 years. He started on the factory floor before moving into administration and later on into the sales management. Despite his extraordinary accomplishment, Orthman's advice for those looking for a long and fulfilling professional life is surprisingly routine.
You have to like to work. I started to work with that willingness and fighting spirit. You also have to start working on something you like to do. You can't just do any job to say that you're working. That doesn't work. You're not going to be able to stand it. You have to look for a job that you like to do, and there you won't even feel the time passing. That's what happened with me. I started working here and I liked it. I worked my way up from point to point until I got to the position I'm in today.
Orthman says his secret to a long life and breaking the record is having a healthy lifestyle and staying away from junk food. He says he avoids sugar and salt as much as possible and tries to keep a diet that is healthy for the mind and soul. In order to stay sharp, Orthman says he does stretches and maintains physical activity. A bridge too scary for many, but just the right place for those with a head for heights. Vietnam has opened the world's longest glass-bottom bridge to the public.
The now recorded longest glass-bottom cliffside pathway, and it's spectacular. The engineering required to build that into the side of a cliff, but maintain all the features of nature, the greenery, the rock, has been an amazing project, very successful, and I think it will attract a lot of tourists.
The White Dragon Suspension Bridge fittingly opened with a dragon dance. The structure is longer than the previous record holder in China and has two sections. One stretches over 630 meters between two mountains, while the other runs around a cliffside. Visitors can look straight down at the valley 150 meters below. The structure is safe and made from three layers of 40 millimeter tempered glass. With soaring fuel prices, the importance of solar-powered vehicles is on the rise. Now a Kashmiri math teacher has gone viral for creating a car powered by solar energy. The car, which is fully covered with solar panels, uses sunlight to charge its battery. The vehicle has a braking system that regenerates power to its batteries. The inventor of the car, Bilal Ahmed, says he has spent about $19,000 for his project and has not used external funds.
It was my dream to invent a solar car for the people of Kashmir. It took me 13 years to complete my dream. I'm thankful to the Almighty I succeeded in this project.
Bilal says he has built the car manually and without any automation. He hopes to put his fully automatic car into mass production to create jobs for local people.
Just like humans and animals, plants get sick too. But what do you do with an ill plant? An Indian man has found an answer to that. He has opened an emergency room only for plants in Amritsar, a city in India's Punjab state. A tax officer and his wife have set up the Pushpa Tree and Plant Hospital. In Pushpa, they have expert biologists and tree lovers on hand to provide the so-called sick patients with their essential nutrients. The clinic aims to treat any and every disease and even has an emergency vehicle on call for unhealthy trees around the city. The officer's wife says, just as we humans bleed, breathe, and need cures, plants also bleed, breathe, and need cures.
We provide approximately 32 various services for plants and trees, like if there's a nail in the tree, how to take out that nail, deep poisoning of the trees, Yes, you heard it right. There are people who poison the trees. Again, if the tree is not bearing fruits, there's an attack of mealybugs or another insects. That's also cured here. If the trees or plants are dying and you're unable to take care of them, even that problem is sorted out.
Only a month into the hospital's operation, Rohit Mehra and his team of 20 volunteers have already received more than 300 queries. The hospital is also completely free of charge. Staff at the National Zoo of Cuba in the capital city of Havana are celebrating a new arrival of a rare baby white rhinoceros. The little calf, named Al, quickly became popular among other animals in the park after he was born. He is part of a conservation program that will add to a gene bank for future breeding. Al is the second white rhinoceros to be born in captivity in 18 years. The park is home to 8 white rhinos and 4 black ones. Zoo staff say the park has one of the largest exhibits of this mammal among zoos in Latin America. White rhinos are endangered species, and their population has dwindled due to illegal poaching and environmental destruction.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Persian fallow deer is a unique but endangered species known for its sleek and spotted body. In this report, our correspondent Youssef Jalali takes us on a quick tour around one of the world's few protected shelters of Persian fallow deer in Iran's city of Sari.
We had to keep quiet and avoid making any sounds to film them, as they are shy and swift, and the slightest sound could send them sprinting and jumping away. Over 60 Persian fallow deer roam in Dashtinaz Wildlife Refuge in Iran's northern city of Sari. The endangered species is carefully protected here to be safe from predators and poachers.
The Persian fallow deer is native to Iran's Khuzestan province, but due to loss of habitat and threats posed to them by predators such as jackals and wild cats, they are endangered and need to be protected in semi-natural refuges like this one.
Persian fallow deer are mainly indigenous to open woodland areas spanning from East Mediterranean coasts to West and Southwest Iran. By 1875, they had gone extinct in all of their main habitats, except in Southwest Iran. After a captive breeding program, the population has rebounded from only a handful of deer in the 1960s to over 200 individuals in Iran.
Dashtinaz Wildlife Refuge is 55 hectares wide. It was introduced in 1962 as a shelter for the Persian fallow deer when the species was on the brink of extinction. At that time, 5 deer were captured and translocated to this refuge. Over the past 6 decades, their number have been multiplied to captive breeding.
The Persian fallow deer is a rare ruminant mammal belonging to the family Cervidae. They're physically larger than other fallow deer, and their antlers are bigger and less palmate. Their special beauty has turned this sanctuary into a hot tourist attraction in Iran's north.
This sanctuary is a tourist destination for visitors who would like to see the Hyrkanian forests in Iran's north and at the same time enjoy the wildlife and learn about efforts made to save the Persian fallow deer from extinction.
In 2015, the Persian fallow deer was registered in the IUCN Red List of Threatened Species. Dashtinaz authorities hope through continued captive breeding, the population of these special creatures will soon reach the desired number, and hopefully they will be reintroduced to their natural habitat in southwest Iran.
While they live far from their original habitat, these alluring creatures feel at home here, where they will be safe from the dangers lurking outside, which may lead to their extinction. So here, Persian fallow deer continue to embellish the nature and charm visitors with their beauty. Yusuf Jalali from Deshanaz Wildlife Refuge in Sari.
Catching fish makes you forget even the most complex problems. But think the moment you catch the strangest one. Well, a Cambodian fisherman has caught what researchers say is the world's biggest freshwater fish ever recorded. The giant fish, which weighs around 300 kilograms and 4 meters long, was caught last week from the Mekong River. The female stingray was released back into water after being electronically tagged to allow scientists to monitor her movement and behavior. The fish was named Barami, meaning full moon in the Khmer language. An American fish biologist, Dana Lee, says the data collected from Barami can help protect the species and its habitat.
We got a call this morning at breakfast that they had caught a giant stingray here at Coprea. So we dropped everything. People came up from Phnom Penh, and we're here now just at sunset. Just tagged the giant, a 330-kilogram giant stingray here in the Mekong River, and released it here right at sunset.
The stingray dethrones the former record holder, a 290-kilogram catfish found in northern Thailand in 2005. More than 1,000 species live in the Mekong River. The famous waterway originates in China and twists south through parts of Thailand, Laos, Myanmar, Cambodia, and Vietnam. Scientists have warned that plastic waste and dam threaten wildlife even in the deepest stretches of the Mekong. Geologists are rejoicing over a new discovery. A 290-million-old fossil forest has accidentally been found in southern Brazil. A team of geologists had been sent to the state of Paraná to investigate the rocks there. To their surprise, they were able to find over 160 logs of lycophytes, an extinct variety of the vascular plant subgroup. It's quite rare occurrence that a large number of fossils of the plant were found preserved in upright position for such a long time. The forest itself was discovered in 2018 when a street was being constructed over there. So far, only two other similar collections have been found in smaller forest areas of Brazil and Argentina.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Almighty. Dear brothers, dear sisters, ladies and gentlemen, salam and so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Our topic for this episode is the secrets of Hajj. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Today, Sunday, is the 3rd of Zilhijjah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 12th of Tir, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 3rd of July, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, And now we'll listen to chapter Al Imran, verse 97.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فيه آيات بينات مقام إبراهيم ومن دخله كان آمنا ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين.
In it are clear signs, such as the standing place of Abraham, and whoever enters it shall be safe. And due to Allah from the people is a pilgrimage to the house, for whoever is able to find thereto a way. But whoever disbelieves, then indeed Allah is free from need of the world.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Mecca and Kaaba is an exhibition of Allah's power and signs. Its history is full of memories and incidents, so that contemplating on them can be giving a lesson and serving as an admonition. In its structure, Prophet Ibrahim, works as a builder, and Ismail, his son, Ishmael, as a worker. The forces of Abraha equipped with elephants did not succeed to ruin it and are abolished by birds of Ababil. At the time of Hadrat Ali's birth, Shia's first imam, its wall opens for her mother and lets her enter inside to bring a child who not very late in the future takes the idols of Kaaba down.
لبيك يا رب الأمم قد لفنا ثوب الندم بالدمع كم فاض الحرم نشكو الخطايا واللمم لا يشتكى إلا إليك
لبيك واغفر للذنوب لبيك ها إني أتوب أصلحني من كل العيوب واغمر فؤادي بالطيوب ليفوز بالعرض عليك
لبيك يا رب الأمم قد
This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. The title of this part is The Secrets of Hajj. The Hajj is essentially a reenactment of the rituals of the great prophets and teachers of faith. Pilgrims symbolically relive the experience of exile and atonement undergone by Adam and Eve after they were expelled from heaven, wandered the earth, met again, and sought forgiveness in the valley of Mecca. They also retrace the frantic footsteps of the wife of Prophet Abraham. Hajar, as she ran between the hills of Safa and Marwa searching for water for her thirsty baby, which, according to Muslim tradition, Allah answered with the well of Zamzam. Lastly, the pilgrims also commemorate the willingness of Ibrahim to sacrifice his son for the sake of Allah. Allah later substituted a ram in place of his son. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin astain. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with some secrets or some important aspects of the Hajj. In the Islamic religion, the main aim of performing Hajj is installing in ourselves the spirit of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and strengthening the spirit of piety. One of the basic requirements of Hajj is sincerity. Hajj shouldn't be performed with the aim of duplicity, for example, or with the aim of showing off to have performed, this ritual. And because, the aim of all rituals is is sincerity toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And moreover, all religious deeds, whether individual or social, all of them should have the element of sincerity, utmost sincerity. Imagine that, for example, someone who performs ritual prayer or salat, not out of sincerity, he or she wouldn't enjoy the sweetness of performing such kind of sincerity, such kind of ritual. At the same time, according to Imam Ali alayhi salam, the highest point of the beauty or the sweetness of rituals is love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Ali alayhi salam indicates that, it's the practice of those who are absolutely devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to perform all the rituals first and foremost, and mainly, or if not absolutely, mainly for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, it must be indicated that, for example, we, as ordinary people, we cannot compare our deeds or the way we perform rituals with those practiced by the infallibles, because the infallibles are really far higher by far than ordinary people. Actually, they are our role models. Well, looking at them as such noble role models, we learn that there's no place for duplicity or for showing off in performing rituals.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
This episode of today's special is looking at Precious Journey. Hajj, in the footsteps of the father of the prophets, Ibrahim. Prophet Abraham raises his head and stretches his hands towards the heavens. He humbly says, O our Lord, surely I have settled a part of my offspring in a valley unproductive of fruit near your sacred house. Our Lord, that they may keep up prayer, therefore make the hearts of some people yearn towards them and provide them with fruits. Happily, they may be grateful. Holy Quran, chapter 14, verse 37. With these words, Ibrahim, which adieu to his wife and child, and returns to Palestine to his first wife, Sarah. Hajar finds refuge in silence. Ismail turns about. She clambers up and down the two hillocks of Safa and Marwa. He gets desperately thirsty. Hajar runs up the nearby hill in search of water. She seeks water, but in vain, and in her desperation, climbs up another hill. He kicks the desert sands with his small feet. On his withered lips, there is thirst and dryness. Deep in his heart, there is love and faith. In his eyes is the great hope of the future, which gives the good news of rising an ummah that will grow in a barren valley, the tree of faith and life. In this part of today's special, we'll look at lessons to take homes from Hajj. All are equal in the eyes of Allah. In the Holy Quran, chapter 49, verse 13, Allah the Almighty says, O mankind, indeed we have created you from male and female and made you peoples and tribes that you may know one another. Indeed, the most noble of you in the sight of Allah is the most righteous of you. Indeed, Allah is knowing and acquainted. That was chapter 49, verse 13. After seeing the beauty of diversities, it is easy to fall into the trap of thinking your nation or tribe is superior to others. But then it is even more beautiful to see all of those same pilgrims dressed in the same white clothes, expressing the same labbaik, and walking around the same Kaaba when the Hajj rituals begin. Any arrogance that was in your heart shatters like a pane of glass as you appreciate your similarity to the rest of creation.
So what is actually a symbol? What does it mean that we say that the Kaaba or these discussions are a symbol of Allah? The word symbol is a noun, and the way that dictionary.com defines the word symbol is it says that a symbol is something used for or regarded as representing something else, a material object representing something, often something immaterial. So a symbol of Allah, sha'airullah, a symbol of Allah is a physical entity, a physical object, which is representing something else, right? So the Kaaba is a physical entity, it is a physical object. And when we look at the Kaaba or when we reflect on the Kaaba, we should be drawing our minds to something greater, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is standing in the place of Allah. It is a material, and it is representing something which is immaterial, which is Allah. So this is what a symbol is within the common usage of this word. Now how does this relate to the Hajj? We see that in the Quran, Allah actually tells us that the entire event of Hajj, not only those 3 or 4 days or 5 days that you're in Mecca and the surrounding area, not only is that a symbol of Hajj, not only is that a symbol of Allah, but actually the scholars say, based upon the verse of the Quran, which we'll come to next, is every single thing related to Hajj is a symbol of Allah. And they say that from the day that a Muslim makes the intention to leave their home, to apply for the visa, to get the ticket, the vaccinations, all of those things that happen, all of those are called the sha'air of Allah.
Brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. That was all for today's special. Inshallah, we continue this interesting topic about this nice, precious journey that is Hajj. We leave you in Allah's protection and have a nice time. Fi amanillah.
Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك حجا حقا
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.